Well, that's a beautiful song. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel. That's right before 2 Samuel in your Bibles. 1 Samuel. Well, in 2 days, we're going to elect the president. 2 days. And Israel chose a king, and we're going to read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 8. I remember I had a barber when I was pastoring in Sturgis, and it was down in Howe, Indiana. The name of his barber shop was The Hair Taker. He would take all your hair. And whenever I would go, you know, sometimes I was on a tight schedule and just dropped in. But if I was the only one there, I would pray that somebody else would come for their haircut. Because he wanted to talk politics and he wanted to talk religion. And he was on the same page, so they were always good conversations. But he would talk and cut and talk and cut. And pretty soon all my hair was gone, you know. And I think he named the place the right way. You know, there's a lot about religion and there's a lot about politics that people disagree with. And so we're going to see what God has to say about it. And let's read what happened to Israel. When they chose a king. They had not had a king before. They relied on the prophets. And the prophets spoke to God, and then the prophets would tell the nation what God said. But let's begin in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I hope you have a Bible with you. If you don't, God bless you. Verse 1. It came to pass when Samuel was old. One more thing to say. Keep your place in 1 Samuel. We're going to go to some other scriptures too, but keep your place there. Came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You can already see it's going south. You can already see they're going to go the wrong direction. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, for to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear the ground, his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters and to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields. Sounds like a real problem, doesn't it, here? And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vine dressers, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. You would think, after hearing all that, and from God, that they would change their mind. But verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. God was already doing that for them, but they wanted to be like the kingdoms of the world. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." And then as we get into a little bit more of the book of Samuel, we'll find out what was happening there. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that your word would be so clear to us, that it would be refreshing, that we would receive it as it is in truth, the very word of God, that it would work in all of our hearts. Lord, so many needs in our church this morning, so many needs in our nation, and we pray for guidance, Lord. Thank you that these stories, these truths were written for our learning and admonition, and may we all profit from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 days, the emotions are running high. Anxieties. There's all kinds of debates going on. Thank God for the right to vote. Amen. And it's your choice. Everybody has a choice. It's a free will election. I'm thankful for that. I've already cast my ballot. Maybe you've cast yours, but I think everybody ought to vote if you're given the opportunity. But politics has entered in. It's not just choosing one or the other. It's full of politics. And that's caused attitudes and arguments that are unbecoming of Christians for certain, separating friends, families, and even church members. And what a shame. And I want to speak today about what we do after the vote. Sometimes, you hear this, you see this, you talk about this, you believe this, somebody else believes something different. There's strife, there's discord. But after the election, that'll all be over. Amen. Decision will be made. And we'll see what God has to say about that. God has something to say about everything. Amen? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's family, if it's business, if it's country, if it's your neighbor, if it's a church, God has something to say about it. And all we want is what God wants. That's a blessing, because that's easy. All you got to do is quote Bible. Amen? I don't have to tell you my opinion. I'll just quote Bible. Save your place there in 1 Samuel 8 and go turn to 1 Peter. It's always good to have a Bible in church, because then you can really grasp it, seeing and hearing. 1 Peter, we will look beginning at verse 13. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. I'll wait till you get there. 1 Peter is right before 2 Peter. Does that help? Okay, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that ye with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, ye shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. It's telling us to honor even the froward, even the ungovernable, even the ones that aren't. And by the way, there's no perfect president, I guarantee you. You can go back in history, because there's no perfect man. There's no perfect person. Amen? We would agree on that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, you don't have to turn there. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, there it is again, and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The Bible is full of verses here. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. We are all sinners. Everybody's a sinner. You're either a saved sinner or a lost sinner. And we try to follow the Lord and try to follow what he says for us to do, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. These verses are speaking about Satan. This was a long time before we were around. But look with me at verse 12. This is speaking about Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits. And that's the devil. And that seed has been planted in everybody. There's a rebellion, a little rebellion in all of us, and it's spread. You can read about Adam, where he disobeyed God, and that's where it all began. You come to the New Testament, there's plenty of Old Testament stories, and we'll get into some of it. But you come to the book of Ephesians, we're to put off some the bad things, we're to put on the good things, we're to live good with one another, peaceable with one another, loving one another, praying one for another, all those things. You come to the book of Colossians chapter 3, it's the same thing. Galatians chapter 5 tells you the works of the flesh and the filling of the Spirit, and they are opposite. There's all kinds of problems and anger and malice with the works of the flesh, but when you get into the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, and peace. And it's a blessing, amen? And we're constantly walking two roads or having two attitudes. But thank God we can just keep going back to the Scripture. Jesus, his disciples, saw all that he did, and they were taught by him. But we have Luke 9, verse 46. There arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. That comes naturally. Which of them should be the greatest? And I want to say, can you imagine these disciples wanting to be the greatest around the Lord? And when he had such a spirit of humility. Luke 14, 7 through 11, they wanted the chief seats. They wanted the chief rooms. And so Jesus brought a parable and he says, if you go somewhere, take the seat way in the back. And if they call you up to a seat of honor, that's good. But if you go all the way up for the seat of honor, and then they tell you to go back, that's going to be pretty embarrassing. And there's more to it than that. Luke 22, verse 24 through 27. Strife among them, who would be the greatest? And then Jesus taught them how that he was a servant. We have Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 23. All they did was to be seen of men, not in private with the Lord. Psalm 50 or 75, verse 7. I'll have my foundation established here pretty quick. I just want to give you all these verses so you can see right where we're going. Because in 2 days, the election will be over. And then what? Amen? More drama, more discord, more anger, more wrath. God bless you. Yeah, she knows. She knows. Psalm 75, 7. But God is the judge. And that's what we read in 1 Samuel 8. They wanted the world to judge him, or their king to judge him. And this is the rest of the verse. He putteth down one and setteth up another. That's what God does. He puts one down and he raises another over here. That's the work of God. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. That's speaking of God. He takes this king off the throne and he puts this king on the throne. We have Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men, the lowest possible talent. He sets those men up. Isn't that amazing? And we'll see that in the life of David. In Daniel chapter 5, this is Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from the sons of men. Remember, he said, look at this great kingdom that I have made. And so he's driven out into the fields, if you know the story. And his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. One more verse, Jeremiah 25:9. Behold, God is speaking. I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, he's not a good king, the king of Babylon, my servant. God calls this heathen king his servant because he's using that king to accomplish something in the children of Israel. Amen? I believe you ought to vote. I believe you ought to be informed about that. I believe you ought to do what the Lord tells you to do. Not everybody's going to do that. Amen? And your vote might not bring about what you think it ought to bring about. But God can raise one up and he can put one down. Amen? All God wants his people to do, in no matter what circumstance they are in, is obey him, follow him. The stories are endless about the martyrs and how they just did something that would be bodily harming them, but they did it because they wanted to please the Lord. In the Bible, as well as in the history books, we have good kings, bad kings. We have good rulers and bad rulers. We could stand and pick their faults. 1 Kings 16:25, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that was before him. Uzziah and Ahab were evil kings too. Good kings, Hezekiah, Josiah, Joash, etc., etc., etc. In our text in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, we're talking about Saul. And so they're going to get Saul as a king. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, next chapter, verse 17, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. That is in chapter 9. There's some space now. We're going to go to chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, from chapter 9. He's chosen. He becomes king. Now chapter 15. The Bible says, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Something happened between chapter 9 and chapter 15. Do you still have your place there? Good, good. Turn to chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. A little more Bible study and we'll get into the message. This is what happened to King Saul. The people wanted a king. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs or Psalms, that says, God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. I guess you could paraphrase that. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. You know, you go to the book of Judges, and there's what's called the Judges cycle, sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. They sin, they're under bondage to another nation, they pray, supplication, and then God delivers them that salvation. That happened 6 times in that one book, the book of Judges. When you get to the end of the book of Judges, you find the mention twice. They did right, which was, they did what was right in their own eyes. And so there we are. Everybody's making a decision that they think is right. Let the scriptures guide you. Amen. Just let the Bible guide you. God will answer your prayer. But let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, chapter 13. And let's begin reading, in verse 8. The enemy is coming, and Saul is worried. And, well, we'll just read it. The people followed him trembling, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. He should not have been doing that. That wasn't his position to do that. That was for the high priest or the prophet. And Samuel didn't come on time, so he's already making an excuse why he had to take over. He was very willful. Verse 10, it came to pass as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Pharisees gathered themselves together in Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I forced myself. And he's using all these excuses for usurping that authority. But look at the next verse. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. There he is. He's going to be removed king. Chapter 15. Look at chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. He is told again to go and to destroy Agag, the king. He was a wicked king. And to destroy all the flocks and the herds and everything, just to get rid of it. In verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed. So, well, I'll just read some more verses. It's really profitable. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. It broke his heart, because he loved the nation of Israel, and he wanted everything to work out there. So Samuel comes along, and Saul comes out to meet him. And Saul says, how you doing, Samuel? That's you. That's in the original Hebrew. How you doing, Samuel? Anyway, says he greets him, and he says, I've done the word of the Lord. And Samuel said, then what is this bleeding in my ears? He hears the sheep, and he hears the oxen and all of that. And now Saul is starting to make all these excuses again. And this is where we have verse 17. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, you were made king. But down to verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And here's the rest. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So he's going to lose being king. You come to chapter 16, and we're introduced to a young man that's going to be the new king. We're talking about making a king. We're talking about making a president. We're talking about making a pastor. We're talking about making a governor. We're talking about putting somebody in authority. And it says in chapter 16 that Samuel comes to anoint David. And he's there with Jesse, and he's saying, bring your boys out, because God sent me here to anoint a king. He knows Saul is not going to be king any longer. And so Eliab, he's the oldest, he comes, and Samuel says, no, this isn't him. And he gets the next oldest, no, this isn't him. And he goes through seven boys. There were eight boys. David was the eighth. He was the last one. But after seven no-shows or seven negative ones, he said, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, yeah, I've got one boy, but he's just a teenager. He's out feeding the sheep. And Samuel said, go and get him. And he got him and brought him back. And in verse 12 of chapter 16, the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He's going to be the new king. Now, there's transition periods here, too. Don't you love this? The Bible is so clear about so many things. Chapter 17, David goes and he kills Goliath. You're familiar with the story. Saul wouldn't go. None of the people of Israel would go. But David went out and he says, I've killed a lion and a bear, and you'll be just like the lion or the bear. God will be with me. Put the stone in the sling and killed Goliath the giant. Well, then something happened. In chapter 18, we're going to go through a few chapters here. And the women were singing songs after the battle. And they were saying, Saul has slain his thousands. That's pretty good. But David is 10,000. And if you look in chapter 18, you'll find the words, from that time forward. Saul got jealous of David. He's going to lose his position. He's going to lose his power. And he's from that time forward, he wanted to kill David and destroy him. What happened to Saul? Remember, I think it was Bob Jones Sr., he says, no man goes to ruin overnight. It's a process of wicked thinking. And we'll see that in Absalom, too. That was David's son, and he wanted to be the king. But they're opportunists. And what happened to Saul? He threw spears. You can read that in the chapters. We don't have the time. He hated other men. He attacked other men. He plotted to kill other men. He even consulted with witches. Wow. David wasn't going to be a king like Saul. And when Saul was trying to kill David and David had the opportunity to kill Saul to preserve his life, he wouldn't do that because the Lord didn't want him to do that. He had opportunities. 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 6, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Remember when the evil spirit troubled Saul, that David played on the harp and sang to him? And so he did that to a mad king. The king was mad, and here's David trying to soothe him. And now he's trying to keep his men from killing the mad king, even though that king was out to destroy him for jealousy, for the wrong reason. He wanted to destroy him. And David was a good king. And we'll get to the part where David fell. But don't discount all the good that David did because of the wrong that he did. He paid, and we can't excuse the wrong that he did, but God forgave him. Amen? And that's what Psalm 51 is all about. He wasn't going to be a king like Saul. Gene Edwards said, you can easily tell when someone has been hit by a spear. He turns a deep shade of bitter. David had escaped the physical spear, and he had escaped the spiritual spear. God protected David from a bad spirit. What a blessing. Amen. God wasn't looking for another king Saul, so David becomes king. Now the history goes to another king. His name is Absalom. These same principles are going to be over and over and over. Absalom is David's son, and Absalom also wanted to be king. In 2 Samuel 15, 6, on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Verse 4 of that chapter, he said, when people were coming, if only I were the judge, if only I were the king, I would be able to fix this thing. And he says, only if you make me the king. And he was getting a following. And he stole their hearts. And that was his plan. He starts to sow the discord. His ambition creates dissatisfaction and tension. He plans to overthrow the king. It was his father. The opportunity will present itself and did present itself. We read in another portion of scripture where they said, aha, aha. People were looking to find a fault. You can find a fault with anybody. Amen? Anybody here? Let's get a couple. Let's call a couple names and you reciprocate, you know. Everybody has faults. Some people really cause a lot of problems, but we're all a problem sometimes. Amen? You ever criticize somebody and then God says, you do the same thing. Anyway, enough said on that. Let's get back to this. The opportunity had come, But David would not destroy Saul, and David would not destroy Absalom. It says in 2 Samuel 18:33, when Absalom was killed, remember David told his men, don't touch him, don't kill him. And there's a story there. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Joseph could have been vengeful for his brothers. They sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him. They didn't even care what happened to him. But you meant it for evil and God meant it for good. God meant it for good. God is able to have an Egyptian king who's going to be good to Joseph and make him second highest ruler in the land so that Joseph can protect all of his family when the famine came. Amen. And then there arose a king that knew not Joseph. And so we go to another phase of what God is doing in the life of the Israelites. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right till the stars fall. That's the only thing he requires of us. Amen. Do right. Follow the scripture. Please the Lord. Let the Spirit of God lead you. So we have the history of the Bible. Good king, bad king. Bad king, good king. There's something more important than this election. And this election is important. It is very, very important. But there's something more important than that. It's what we will do after the election. Will we become spear throwers? Are we spear throwers now? We're to use sharpness for edification and not for destruction. That's what we're supposed to do. The tongue, James chapter 3, is set on fire of hell. And when that spirit goes bad, you know not what spirit ye are of. When that spirit goes bad and you're not responding to what God wants you to do, even during a trial, even during froward people, even whatever it is, whatever the excuse, it can ruin your spirit, and then you start throwing spears. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1, David was a good king until this point. When kings go forth to battle, verse 1, David tarried at Jerusalem. David was a king. He should have been in the battle, but he wasn't. And so he saw Bathsheba, and he committed adultery. Then he had her husband murdered. But after that, he confessed all of that, and God forgave him. He had a heart for God. It's just interesting how all of these things happen. There is a king, a great king, that one day is going to rule over us. That's King Jesus. Amen? And no matter who is voted in president, Jesus is always going to be our king. We are a people of another world. Amen? I mean, we are to do right here. And all of the verses I gave you when we first started out, pray for the king. Pray for the rulers. Do what's right. Obey the law. Amen? All of those things are important. It's going to be real hard for you to pray for somebody that you hate. Unless it's, get them, Lord, you know. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants people to be saved. He wants the revelation in people's hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 20. That our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We have a king that does that spiritually. 1 Timothy 6:15. Which in times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's a great ruler. Hebrews 7:2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, this is God, this is the Lord, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. He came to bring peace. You also have Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Who establishes what is righteous or not? God does. Amen? We read the Bible and we see what God has to say about it. And when righteousness exalts a nation, what a blessing that is. Sin is a reproach to any people. Well, how do you know what's sin? I mean, there's things that were sin 20 years ago. They're not sin anymore. Well, you go back to the Bible. And so you want to follow the righteousness of Almighty God, because that's what he's talking about. He's the king. Amen. He's the spiritual king of us. In Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Your vote. You need to do soul searching so you can put the right person in there. And everybody has their choice and everybody has their opinion. Amen? And no matter what happens on Tuesday, that's the way it is. We have liberty to do that. I was thinking about this. I had my message done, and I would have been done right now, but I've got about another hour and a half to go. I don't know if that'll be okay. I'm kidding. Somebody just fainted. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah. And it talks about how bad it was. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And not many people believed him. He just got his family on the ark. But he was a preacher of righteousness in a very, very dark time. The Bible also says in the Gospels, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And Lot vexed, tormented, Lot vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing. Doesn't that do that to you, sin? You're watching TV and you see this or you hear this and all of this stuff about the election. Doesn't it grieve you in seeing and hearing, as it was in the days of Lot? And there's a list of horrible things that happened in Lot's day. But he was a righteous soul, and Moses, or Noah, preached righteousness. I think that's our responsibility. One song says, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Again, no matter who's president, Jesus is king. Amen. No matter what this document says or what this court finds, Jesus is king. And so we need to be what he wants us to be. In Revelation 19 and verse 16, the day's coming, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. What a blessing. Amen. In Acts chapter 5, when the disciples were beaten for doing what God wanted, the law said they couldn't do it. But they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And there are certain things. Don't go rob a bank. Amen. Don't rob a bank. Some of you are thinking about that, I can tell. Don't do this. Come to the scripture and say, what will please the Lord? Love your enemy. Love them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for all that are in authority. Amen. I do. I think everybody needs to. Amen. 2 days. It's exciting. But it's also, yeah, amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today, we talked about Jesus being the king one day. First time he came as a babe in a manger. We know that. He grew up and he died on a cross for our sins. Do you know him as Savior? Jesus is the Savior as well as the King. He's the blessing. And he wants to give you a home in heaven today. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to forgive all of your sin. What a wonderful thing. He's not like any person. Put not your confidence in the flesh. Put not your confidence in man or in princes. Let the Lord be your confidence. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. All you have to do is pray. You can pray silently in your heart. He will hear your prayer. He'll hear it. Just pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying in my place.
please forgive me of all my sin. Give me a home in heaven. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What a simple prayer. What a simple prayer. If you said that prayer, God's given you eternal life. Amen.